Welcome to today's episode of See Here Love. We are unpacking this theme of wonder. And today we're going to talk about the wonder of preteen girls. It is not a mystery. It is a wonder. And so we are going to learn from my beautiful friend, Caitlin Say. Hi, Caitlin. You're from Saskatchewan. Tell us a little bit about you, who you are, and what you're doing these days.
Yeah, and so glad to be here with you today. Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I guess I'm warm inside, but it is cold here in Saskatchewan today. We're talking minus 45, so I just like throwing out numbers. Great people. Life is good. I love working with teen girls. Also work with a variety of youth doing leadership and discipleship through Inspire Nation, an organization that I'm leading, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm having a good time.
That's so wonderful. Your scope of working with Next Gen is not just preteens. We're going to kind of try to hone in a little bit on preteens today because of a resource you've created. But your scope is working with youth across your region, across the country, truly. Mm-hmm. I want to lean into this, that's the season, though, of preteens, because it is such tender years, the in-between season of not quite a child and not quite adolescence. And your work is consistently like centered around this age group. Let's start there. What first drew you to working specifically with these preteen girls and creating a resource for them?
Yeah, well, I was a high school teacher and I was also working as a pastor in my early 20s. And at the time, I was just constantly encountering youth and I was noticing that there, you know, is such a need for youth to have firmly grounded identity. It just seemed like it didn't matter the demographic. It didn't matter the race. There were just different aspects of it becoming evident that youth are struggling. And as someone who knows what it is to have Jesus ground me and just have the life transformation of knowing him, I just grew such a heart during those years for youth to be grounded in Christ and to find the answers that they're searching for. And then I would just say even more so, you know, when it comes to the preteen girls, and a lot of this actually kind of came through research, but also personal experience, the youth, that the preteen girls that I was working with. But as I just better understood through research and even classes that I was taking at the time, understanding even the global challenges that girls face and just the power that when we do focus on empowering young women, the power that can bring to communities and even to families. And so research around that, you know, coming from UNICEF, and then just even here in Canada, better understanding some of the particular needs to girls. So according to the Canadian Women's Foundation, I found some of these stats surprising. Girls are 4 times as likely as boys to be sexually assaulted by a family member in Canada. Girls are 15 times more likely than boys to be hospitalized for eating disorders. And boys are twice as likely as girls, I thought this was interesting, to pursue careers in the STEM subjects, that's science, technology, engineering, math. And so, you know, there were just kind of these things that I was learning and just seeing this need for girls to grow confident and knowing that those preteen years are absolutely essential. They're so formative. And then, Anne, I'll just say, I think that this is a fact that people should know. Indigenous girls in Canada are at especially high risk, and they are the most vulnerable demographic in Canada, especially those living on First Nations communities. So as I learned these things, my heart just grew for this need and to be part of the solution with God's help. So that's kind of how things got stirred up.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there like a moment, Caitlin, in your own life that made you realize this age group needs more support? Was there something like a pivotal moment?
Yeah, I mean, so I was feeling it as like a general burden as I was working as an educator and a pastor. But there was a moment for sure. It was, I would call it a call. I was volunteering as a prayer. I was praying for youth at a conference. It was called Project Hope, and it was for Indigenous youth across Saskatchewan. There were hundreds of youth at this conference, and our prayer team was quite small. I think we had about six on the team. And when the youth were invited to come to the front to be prayed for, just to receive hope, to encounter God, to turn their lives to Him, almost every single youth in the auditorium got up, and I heard the Lord whisper to me, that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And he just said, I'm calling you. And he didn't lay out the path before me in that moment. You know, I was still working as a pastor and a teacher, but he was beginning. This was the beginning of a whole new pathway into the Inspire ministry that I'm now leading. Praying with those students and just huge circles of them and wanting to give them like that one-on-one attention that we love to do when we pray for students, but just being overwhelmed by it, by the need. And that was a really pivotal moment for me.
Oh my goodness. So you start your ministry journey and now you're creating resources that meet this need. Let's talk a little bit about what you've recently created, this resource for girls to meet the need where they're emotionally and socially kind of right now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I like how you say meet them where they're at. So actually the first book that I ever wrote and published, self-published, was called Stand Secure. And it was for girls to just grow a strong identity. And as I used that book in workshops and things like that, I noticed that there was a lot of text. And that the students kind of lost some interest with all the reading, especially some of the preteens. And so anyways, just since then, just paying more attention to what engages, what's interactive, and what is most transformative when a student opens a book. And so the books that I've written since for preteens and for older teens, they're highly interactive. Every page has some kind of an interactive, kind of creative, engaging activity. And the hope would be that girls actually feel like they are encountering God in this book because they're writing responses and they're thinking of new designs and just the creative ways that they're engaging around these topics of identity and purpose, you know, already at a young age, beginning to think about how am I uniquely gifted? Like, what are my unique interests? And so, the books are just designed around these things. And then each book that I've written has like videos. And in those videos too, there's student testimonies. And I just consistently find that as young women or even young men, but as young women see other young women speaking about their experiences and challenges and finding hope in God, there's just something so powerful that happens through those testimonies.
So you've alluded to some of the topics, but what topics do preteen girls consistently want to talk about? But adults might not always realize that they want to talk about those things.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the one hand, sometimes I think, man, they actually do want to talk about things adults think they would want to talk about. I think that they want to talk about everything and anything. I think they love to be engaged. I will say they love to be asked questions because they have thoughts. And I think sometimes we talk a lot or, you know, share our thoughts or our lesson. And then it's like we close the book and that's done. Whereas like pulling out their questions and their thoughts and really taking the time and making the space to hear what's stirring in them so key. But I would just say when we do get on the train of talking about just healthy friendships, this is huge for girls. This is huge for girls in our schools. How do we cultivate healthy friendships? What do we do with moments of gossip or backstabbing or just the especially the conversations that can happen when someone's not in the room and so insecurity comes out in so many ways in girl groups, right? And so I find girls want to create spaces where other girls feel safe. And so having those conversations about how do we do that and having a safe place to admit when they've made a mistake or when they've been part of conversations they wish they wouldn't have, that conversation about healthy friendships, healthy relationships, they're all about that. And of course, another big one, I don't think this surprises us, but it's healthy dating relationships and sexuality, all questions around that. And so I think not being afraid to go to those places is really important with them. And then I would just say, you know, always finding ways for girls to kind of submit their questions to you without needing to maybe even put their name on it. But, you know, we often do like a question box in different programming where they don't have to sign it, but just where they can submit those and just feel comfortable doing that. And then you get a real good picture of what's on the hearts and minds of your particular group.
How do you keep that balance of being honest about the hard issues while still keeping the messages age appropriate? I mean, we know we have a generation that has access to a lot of information, so maybe they know a lot more than generations before them. But how do you talk about those hard things and still try to keep it age appropriate?
Yeah, well, I think you know, like I said, no question is off the table. So I think that is important that they can ask the question and they need to know that. But yes, as far as the depth of the response or how much we would go into that conversation, I mean, it would depend, always respecting the parents and conversations that maybe need to happen at home. If it's a student in a program that I'm running, I think, you know, that often we have parents involved, which is a helpful thing. But we don't want to dismiss their questions. And I think it's just so good to be able to have those authentic talks. I would say, you know, storytelling is just a great way to kind of share on different topics and perhaps just things that, you know, I've learned along the way, or just kind of opening up our lives and hearts to them is a good way to engage them in these topics. But certainly you need that discernment of, you know, when is this appropriate to go there and when is it not? And I think whether you're a parent or whether you're a youth leader, you know, we all need that kind of moment by moment discernment, and God help. So staying plugged into the Holy Spirit is such a key in all of this.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seehearlove.com. And look for the newsletter icon. Become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
You've given me incredible advice as a mom. You have spoken into my parenting with my teens, and I would just love to hear some of the stories from the girls that have deeply shaped your work. Like, are there some stories that you can share with us that kind of reveal more of what's going on beneath the surface? Don't say any names or anything like that, but these stories that have impacted you along the way.
Yeah, sure. Well, I remember being very deeply impacted years ago. I was running a girls' camp, and there was one young woman that had just shared about experiencing identity, gender confusion, just confusion, and just not being sure kind of where to turn, and even feeling guilty about that because this young woman was a believer and trying to figure out, you know, does God hate me, and asking these questions. And those can be tricky conversations for us. I think right across the country, just kind of knowing what we can respond with or how to engage those conversations. But I remember just praying that week for that young woman and really asking God to just reveal the true female design that He had implanted within her. And just praying for all of the schemes of the enemy to be canceled that are coming against her life. And that just was a powerful week for her. And just by the end of the week, you know, a lot of the teaching, it was a girls' camp. A lot of the teaching was around just the female design and the core identity of woman. And, you know, we talked about that Azer Kenegdo, just who God created women to be, this warrior. And she just had connected that week deeply with kind of the truths of who God created woman to be. And so by the end of the week, yeah, she had just shared with the clarity that God had brought to her. And that was really powerful, and just reminded me how important it is that as we work with young women, that we really do include just these pieces of teaching about the unique female identity and unlocking that and bringing that empowerment to them. So that was one story. But I mean, there's just so many. And I really pay close attention, Anne, to the things that they are curious about. And I just let that really guide, you know, a lot of the teaching, especially if I get to work with a group ongoing. And it's amazing how God is alive in those topics that they will bring up. But I do remember that when we were taping the last course that I created with a group of preteens, when it got to the session around healthy relationships, like their questions were just tons of them, and their engagement in the content was so alive. And two of the girls in the group in particular, right there on the spot before we did the taping, they were reconciling. Past hurt, and one of them had, you know, gossiped about the other, and so we talked through that as a group. And I just thought, man, these topics are so alive for them. And it really did shine a light on that one in particular, just these healthy friendships for them. So.
Oh, I have so many questions. I have one big question. Is I kind of prefaced that you gave me tips as I just like solid advice as somebody who is in this space as a parent. Like, what signs should parents or educators look for, or the youth pastors, et cetera, people working with young people, look for when like a preteen is struggling internally? Like, how do we even identify that in the spaces that we're, you know, leading in or loving on these kiddos, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it helps a lot. If you're a parent, this is probably easier. If you're a youth leader, you know, you might have teams of leaders who know the students better. But I think knowing your students' kind of baseline behavior and emotional state, you know what's kind of normal for them, how big they often respond to things, or, you know, just even their kind of their ups and downs in their moods. You kind of know what's their norm, and you take note when things that are outside of their kind of baseline behavior and norms are happening. And the more often they're happening, the more that something probably needs to be addressed. I mean, if they're showing up at youth and they all of a sudden are just sad or hard to engage with, or not showing the same kind of joy, you know, you're taking note of that. And I think if you're running a program or a youth group or a girls group or whatever, then, you know, having leaders who are responsible for small groups is just so helpful, so that one person has kind of got their eye out for that one girl. You know, that individualized attention is so important in that context. And then certainly as a parent, you know your student in the home, you know your kid in the home. And I also think making space for just natural, organic conversations to occur is a really big key. Sometimes when we get intentional, we think that means filling the space. But sometimes we can be really intentional about just creating the organic space. And so that can mean like a longer drive somewhere, or going for ice cream, or, you know, playing a card game. But it's these spaces where they have space to just bring up what they want to bring up. And then during those times, during those windows, just being super prayerful. Heavenly Father, like in your mind, Lord, just bring to the table what needs to be brought out today, God, you know. And and then they don't feel huge pressure during those moments, and just giving them room. I think that's so key.
Oh, I think that's so wise, Caitlin. Thank you for that practical tip, because that was going to be my next question. It's like, how? Because we can talk about these things and kind of philosophize about these things, but like, how the long drives, that let's go out for a matcha or whatever it is that they're into, like doing the things that they're into, that's amazing. That is great tips, because sometimes that is where the things surface. And we might not have all the answers. That's why you've created these resources, so that we can do, you know, whatever, if it's reading together or if it's these studies together, what that looks like, and getting plugged into healthy youth groups, etc. I would love for you to share, what does it actually look like, a healthy identity look like for a preteen in your view and in your experience?
Yeah, well, I often point back to, I love Ellen Duffield's work around like a thriving young leader. She writes on this in a variety of ways, but she points to three components that I think are really key. And she draws from Genesis 1, 26 to 28, where, you know, we see God create humans. And this is age old, and it's still true. You know, that first is just that she is growing in the confidence of knowing who she is in Christ. And she's able to stand firm in that, knowing, yeah, where her worth is found. And that comes out in a variety of ways, but she's not looking for affirmation, and she's not people pleasing. Like, she finds that that place of, I know who I am, in her rooted relationship with Christ, you know? And so that's really important. And students can appear confident, you know, without truly having this grounded confidence in Christ. So facilitating moments for God encounters is so key to be developing this. And so we can help do that as leaders in a variety of ways. But that's one, the identity. And the next is belonging. So she's got to have a place where she feels loved and secure and known, and she can bring her good, bad, and ugly, and she's still going to be loved there. And so, you know, these peer circles are really, really key. It's good when she's getting this at home. But if you can find, whether it's a youth group or whether it's a girls' leadership program or a school group, or maybe it's like a sport she loves or sewing, I don't know, an interest-driven group, but help her find her thing, her place where she fits. It's so key. God wired us to need that. And finally, I think this piece is really important too, is this piece of contribution. Like, we can be helping her discern from an early age these things where she starts doing this thing and she loses track of time. You know, she just gets into flow. These things where we were made to do this. And when she finds some of those things, to really cultivate that and celebrate that in her life and help her grow those skills to support that, because we're made to contribute. And so giving her places to serve, whether it's at church or even in the home, what's the chore list or what's the, you know, way of contributing in your own home. That's just such a key piece to growing that healthy identity as well. So that identity in Christ, that belonging, and that contribution, just so key.
Thank you. That's super clear and very helpful. I'd love to close with this. If you could give every preteen girl just one message, what would it be? What would you say to the preteen you're listening in today?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that. If I can have your permission to just twist that a little bit, instead of giving her a message, if I could, I would go with her on a guided prayer retreat, probably with a group, but I would be there to help her, be there to process the things that God was showing her, what God might be saying to her. I really believe that helping preteen girls develop this muscle of hearing God's voice and being in his presence and knowing him close, you know, close. That's my deepest desire. And that's what I would want to see. And that's how I'd want to come alongside her.
That's beautiful, Caitlin, because the word that like keeps resonating to me throughout our time together has been with. You're doing this life with. It's not at or for, or like, you know, it's with. It's not just managing these kids. I was also a high school teacher. You know that about me. So my love is that age group. But thank you for helping us see how to do life with the girls of God's position in our world, and that they are people who are worth listening to and learning from and protecting and loving. So I'm grateful for the work that you do. Yeah, I'm super grateful. And so we are going to put all the links of all the things so that people can find your resources and learn from you. So thank you again.
Morning, man. Thank you. And I just thank you and honor you and just appreciate you and your leadership in our nation and just the ways that you've poured into my life, Anne, and the ways that you are championing so many young leaders. Yeah, so appreciate you.
Thanks, Caitlin. Lovely. God bless, friend.